Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
We meet again. Dungeon Junkies presents Kerry's Campaign, Episode 3, Part 1, Stealing and Smiling.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
Welcome back, guys, to Dungeons and Junkies. Me and Alex are very proud once again to welcome to the DM chair, Kerry. So when you're ready, Kerry, do please take it away.
Hello, welcome back to my house of fun. As is custom here, let's go round the table and reintroduce ourselves, starting with Caitlin.
Hello, I'm Caitlin. I'm not an alcoholic, because it doesn't work with my medication. I'm playing Shard, the drow elf bard, who honestly just needs a hug.
Alex.
Okay, I'm Alex. Hi, once again. And I'll be playing Charlie, the half-elf monk who agreed to play the world's longest game of Hunt the Scientist.
I suppose that could segue into Chad.
Hi, yes, I am Chad, and today I will be playing Oberyn Duncan Vallon, the high-elf simic hybrid druid who is going to take some names, kick some ass, and feed his friend the cat.
And talk to every fucking animal.
You're damn right.
Matt?
I'm Matt. I am playing Moira Vex, the high elf witch, who has become sort of a chef in her spare time. And she can't cook for shit, but she's trying her best, bless her, with what she's got available.
It's very wholesome. And last but not least, Ailey.
So I am playing Laughter, the tiefling rogue, who, despite what you might assume, doesn't laugh very much. But she might also steal from you.
Okay, so for the benefit of the recording, as a quick recap from the past session, after sending an abomination of nature to the next life, you all went back to Larton to rest. Oberyn, I assume, camped outside, and you were woken quite rudely by the sound of sirens and screaming and fighting. So, those of you inside the tavern, what do you do now?
Scream.
Moira rushes to the window to look outside and see what the hell is going on.
When Moira looks out the window, she can see what looks like a war, but on a small scale, because Larton isn't very large. There's around 75 people who've just swarmed into the town to attack.
Oberyn would be like standing at the front of the city with all 75 of these people, with his spear in one hand and like magic in his other hand, like ready, and just saying, "No one enters this town. There will be no death today. I care not what the sky says."
Have you got the cat on your shoulder?
No, the cat is protected. He's over, he ran off. Cats are smart.
Chad's just lying there like, in the world not.
Moira grabs Laughter and says, "We should go downstairs and we should find out why they come to attack this town." So I drag Laughter with me.
Laughter will follow you.
I'm going to climb out my window and go along the rooftops to get a better view of this.
Unfortunately for Oberyn's authority, they've gone in the other way as well.
I can only defend one side of the town. I'm only one person.
Right. Okay. Shard, where was
I'm going to go check that Bengen and Turg and that are okay.
How far away from the tavern is the other posse coming in other side?
Well, the tavern is on the opposite end to where the people are attacking from.
Okay.
Larton isn't a massive place. It's about 500 yards wide.
Okay.
It's tiny.
Okay, so it's like a little hamlet.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Is there still people in the houses?
Not as such. Everyone who's able to fight has gone out, and those who haven't have sought shelter.
Okay. I cast a message to Oberyn. I'm like, do you want me to like put a ring of fire down so they can't get any further?
Oberyn would respond with, "No, handle the other side of the town." And with that, I'd like to cast Entangle on like the whole entrance of the town, so all like these 75 people, since it's just an area effect spell.
Okay, how wide is the area?
It's a 20 foot 20-foot, like, grid.
Okay. So what's Charlie doing up on the roof, then?
I was maybe getting a vantage point to see, like, where people are coming from, if anyone's coming to this tavern, to cause harm.
A few people have tried walking through, like, the whole area with entanglement on it, mostly to their detriment. We've got some nice people decorating it now.
And... a Christmas tree, but with, not a Christmas tree, but now with humans, or basically humanoids decorating it, basically.
You've got, like, a lovely little goblin sat on top.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Very festive. Those who've made it in through the other entrance have started swarming the town.
How many of them are there on that side, give or take?
At that point, there's about 40 people who've made it in so far.
Okay. Is it like a wall city? Is it like a walled town, is it? Or not really?
Not as such, no.
Okay. Mm.
Can I recommend we leave?
But
and take as many people with us as we can?
Well, I was going to suggest I literally put one hand on fire, one hand on electrical fire.
Laughter would probably be helping people, because despite the fact that she is a career criminal, she actually cares about people, so she'll be on the side of helping people escape.
So try and help clear the way. Can I draw my longbow and start shooting some of the invaders in their legs to try and knock them prone?
Yes, you
or
can try.
Or at least slow them down.
As you start firing, a rain of crossbow bolts comes back at you.
Oh shit, okay. Can I try and jump out of the way then?
Luckily, most of them miss you.
You're shot.
How long have you all been on the island?
3 years.
Moira, pretty much all of her existence.
I've only been on the island for not very long. But my
usual answer is long enough. About 5 years or more.
Shard is very much working on the fact that you are all behaving as if this is a surprise rather than...
Oh, absolutely.
Some shit we get used to.
Oh no, I know of it. I just hate it.
Moira wants to, like, protect the people that are here, because the people in this little hamlet are innocent, clearly. So Moira feels very protective of the hamlet.
Yeah, I will point out that attacking the 70-odd people head-on from a location where innocents are is more likely to draw said people to the innocents and get them killed.
I can't use methods for that. I was going to try and carve them inside all their heads and pretend to be like one of the gods threatening them to leave or something. But
alright, I'm going to...
Message hasn't got that sort of power, unfortunately.
I'm going to hop back off the roof and go through the front door, and as I show, I'm like, there's a lot of people out there.
As you're going through the front door, you notice Turk just about to come out of it holding a massive maul.
Turk, no.
Big yikes.
I hold him back. He's like, now is not the time.
Turk tries to shake you off. He knows what you've got to do. Inside the tavern, you can see a lot of the tables have been pushed against the windows to block them, and the rest of the tables have been arranged in a sort of blockade behind which there are vulnerable people sheltering, like young children, like mothers, and the elderly and the infirm.
So they've taken shelter inside the tavern then?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm going to draw my quarterstaff ready for what's to come.
I actually look at Shard, I'm like, you might have a valid point. I mean, we may have to abandon this town, but at the same time, if we can give them the best chance of surviving before we do go, is there a way of, like, barring the door from the outside so they can't be infected, so they can't get in?
Well, like, I'm happy for us to take kind of the distraction role and to get their attention whilst the others get out. I'm just well aware that if we're not careful, we will draw the ire on this place. And where's Oberyn?
He's out there, some trying to, like, talk them all out of it, but I don't think.
Yeah, talk people out of the friggin' Red Sun Church.
Who would be best at getting people away, do you think? I haven't got... All of my stuff is kind of, you know, kill. It's not much defense stuff. Laughter. How good... What's your... Did you meta about this?
Skill set.
Yeah,
be meta for a minute.
Are you able to run?
Can you say that in more simple terms?
Okay. Can you escort the kids and the women and everything like that out of the town to a safe place? And we'll take care of the... And we'll distract them long enough for you to get away with them.
From Lacta's previous experience with children, I'm going to say I think so.
I think if you can do that, we can distract them long enough for you to get away, and then I can find you a message, and we can come and find you.
I'd suggest Lofter and Charlie.
Sounds good.
You know the area about as well as I do, Charlie, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Lofter is the correct person who would be able to, even if she doesn't know the area, especially if she's got someone who does.
Yeah,
she'd be able to get by. So, I'll go for it.
Okay.
Bengarn.
Bengarn isn't here at the moment. Bengarn is out fighting.
Yeah, it's Ingvan, though.
She is also out fighting.
God damn it, everyone. Turg.
Turg, time to look at Shard.
Turg, I need you. See everyone in here. I need you to get everyone out and away from this. Like, you're in charge. You're protecting them. I know you want to go fight out there, but if you can get everyone to safety, that would be brilliant. Because they're going to come in the door, and I don't want you all to be here when that happens. Like, some of these kids are tiny.
It'll be a slaughter.
Turg looks a bit torn. He was given the responsibility of protecting people inside the tavern.
If you take the people outside the tavern and protect them, these two will go with you. I'll go find Bengarn and Ingvan and fight with them, okay?
Turg nods and goes back in and scoops up as many children as he can.
Okay.
Adorable.
Charlie Lafter, get scooping.
Yeah, Lafter just goes up to the children and says, okay, look, we'll get you out of here. Just anyone who... As many people as want to come with me, just come here, and I'll take you away.
While that's happening, I go behind the bar and grab as much alcohol as I can.
I slap Moira.
Food!
No.
Oh, okay. No, I don't slap Moira. I thought she had a drinking problem.
No, I have a plan. How much alcohol do I get from behind the bar, Kerry?
You managed to grab 5 bottles of strong alcohol.
Okay, cool. I want to throw them on the ground.
Let's get outside first.
Yeah, of course. Yes. I go outside the tavern and I throw all of the alcohol on the ground as hard as I can, so it literally covers me as far as it can. Right, Oberyn, get them towards us, and my hand lights up on fire.
I'm still worried about the after effects of this.
We'll take the back entrance.
The town's gonna fall. But the town's gonna fall. It's gonna fall without the kids and the women inside. And that means taking these people out there and go looking for the thing. That's my first concern.
I'm gonna go
stand by over it because area of effect stuff. Let's go.
Okay. So Moira lights her hands on fire and stands ready.
Okay. I'm going to start leading some of the children out towards the back entrance, and then I'm going to get them to wave as I make sure the back is clear. Quarterstaff in one hand.
The back is clear at the moment. Nobody's fought to go round there yet.
Okay, I start leading them out, and I'm going to, step on ahead with an offensive stance, because if people want to hurt them, they can die.
Targ follows with children clinging off of him like ornaments on a Christmas tree.
With a subclass, you can change her unarmed strike damage type, so I'm going to change it to lightning. In my hand, my arms and fist start sparking with electricity.
As the children rescuing party sneaks out back, the people start to advance further towards the tavern.
What are Oberyn and Shard doing? I need to make sure I don't catch them on fire as well.
I've just gotten to Oberyn, so my main thing is just I'm kind of surreptitiously letting him know we're getting everyone out the back.
I also will have to say that Entangle only lasts for about a minute, so I feel about the time that Shard would get there would be about as the spell was fading, so there's now 75 people who are probably kind of pissed off.
Quite probably. The goblin who was decorating the lovely entangled area is now a bit unhappy because he has horns in his backside.
Lovely.
So he is coming for Oberyn. This tiny goblin is coming for you.
The tiny goblin? The minute he starts to get anywhere within 10 feet of me, my spores immediately surround him and you can feel him on his throat, and I go, another step forward and problems will occur for you.
You can see the loading processing circle above the goblin's head as it considers your words.
The wheel's going, but stopping.
Very good.
And let's see. He tries to attack you with his tiny dagger anyway.
Is he actually taking a swing at me?
Yes.
Can I say he's really small and I have my shield on my arm. Can I just block it and just bash him with my shield? I don't want to hit him with my spear or anything like that. I just want to clock him because I don't want to kill anyone today.
He missed anyway, so yeah.
Fantastic. He swings at me, and out of annoyance, I just backhand him with my shield. Like, anybody else?
He just goes squeaky across the floor.
I cast message to Oberyn. Quickly! I have fire to burn.
And whilst Moira's waiting, somebody fires a crossbow bolt at you.
Okay. You know, makes you do.
And it misses.
Okay. One that fired at me. Can I see which one it was?
Yeah, it was.
I can't fight.
Wow, poor gnome.
I'm casting. So it's level 2 as well. So.
Right.
It's a wisdom saving throw of beat 13.
Well, I can tell you for sure that's not a 13 that I rolled.
Okay, it takes 3d8 psychic damage on a failed save.
Yikes.
I should have had my d8 ready, shouldn't I? Seeing as I've been wanting to use this for a while. 16.
All the blood in the gnome's body seems to come out of its nostrils in that moment. As it dies quite horribly.
I see this and I cast message at Moira. No fucking killing!
I have a plan, I think.
It fired at me! I didn't attack it!
It's just hemorrhaged all the blood in its body out of its nostrils, but okay.
I'm not an arsonist, I just burned down a town.
I have not burned anything yet!
Yeah.
What is Shard doing?
Shard is going to attempt some intimidation shit. Basically, I'm going to step forward and I'm going to use my cantrip Thunderclap, which has 100-foot range and gets everything within it to create like a burst of sound that like will hurt people if they fail a constitution throw.
Okay.
And just kind of go, you come any closer and you will die, and I will make sure it is painful.
Wow, those are some terrible numbers.
They have to beat a 14. So.
They're all in single digits, so... Oh.
Sorry, generic crowd. Do you want me to do an intimidation or something?
Do whichever Shard would like to do.
Shard will go intimidate because, you know, they're in pain now. And if they failed the check, then they take 6 damage. Enjoy okay. The burst eardrums, peasant.
Okay, that is 22.
Ouch.
Fear my angry, angry drow elf.
You killed 4 people.
Oberyn is just angrier and angrier, like, why are we killing people?
Don't live here, shut up!
For those who are still near the tavern, including the 2 murderers and the angry boy, there's a projectile that is suddenly thrown at you from a distance. And I'm gonna need everyone to make a dex saving throw.
13.
So, Oberyn got 8, yeah?
Yep.
18 for Shard.
Shard and Moira managed to avoid it, but Oberyn takes 4 damage as the corpse of a pig comes flying through the air and barrels into him. How far away from Oberyn are Moira and Shard?
I mean, I stepped forward to do my spell so I didn't catch him, so probably about 10 feet.
And Moira?
I don't know how far from the tavern they go, those are, because I'm outside the tavern having sprayed my water, my mortar, my fire water, as they say. So I don't know, maybe 60 feet.
Okay, Shard, I'm gonna need both Shard and Oberyn to make a constitution saving throw now.
Right, I love having pigs thrown at me.
That's an
11. Okay, it was a pig corpse that was in the putrefaction state of decay. It exploded upon hitting Oberyn, showering everybody in the vicinity with God knows what.
The idea of me taking that taking the pig corpse for dinner.
And there's like a sour ammonia and sulfur smell punches you in the face.
I'll make you smell better. I you say via message.
If you cast Prestidigitation on me, Moira, right now, I will slap the shit out of you.
The smell makes you both wretch, and your next 2 turns will be rolled at a disadvantage when you're trying not to...
Place their life choices.
I guess we are just trying ready for them to attack again? Or are you guys backing up again so I can set the fire trap or not?
I mean, I'm waiting for them to try it, because I just killed 4 of them.
12 people advance forward towards the tavern. They don't make any attempt to attack yet, though.
I lift the flute to my lips threateningly.
They are not threatened.
Fear the two.
Alright, so how many of them are there again?
12 of them are heading up to the tavern.
And I, like, quiet into my breath, I'll whisper, so Moira, you have the trap prepared, correct?
I'm ready.
I think we should run then. Yeah. Like, I don't want to kill, I don't want anyone else dead, we cannot... Provide by these overlords telling us to kill each other. So, I do not
Honestly,
want any more bodies today.
My intention was to scare them. I did not expect them to die.
And I respect that. So, I say we fucking blow this chicken coop and start running. And we set off this trap and we get the hell out of here.
I prepare Firebolt to attack effectively the puddle of alcohol. I'm ready to fire it as soon as Oberyn and Shard have come past.
I kind of look at Oberyn and I'm like, okay, on the count of three. And like, as I'm counting, I have, as a drow elf, I get the cantrip dancing lights. So I put like all four of the lights like directly in front of us, so they're just like blinding, and then peg it the other direction.
Oberyn catches the blinding lights, annoying us to run, and turns around and runs with Shard.
Bye.
Peace.
Okay, so what does Moira do?
Moira fires Firebolt at the alcohol to create basically a wall of fire so that they can't advance and follow us.
There is now a big blazing inferno in front of the tavern. Poor Bengarn, who is somewhere in the back of the crowd, assumes you tried to burn down his livelihood when he sees the fire.
Can I cast message saying there's no fire by the tavern? Don't worry, it's not going to touch it, okay? It's just... save all women and children. I get my message. I'm hoping that doesn't freak him the hell out.
You even know he's there?
Well, I'm guessing we can see him.
Bengarn is small and a lot of the attackers are tall.
Okay.
So at most you could see his warhammer. So, panning the camera over to Charlie, Laughter, and Turk.
I have this image of two toddlers on Laughter's horns.
That's kind of cute.
Alright, so I'm heading towards the downhill area that we headed last time, towards the beaches. But I'm just sort of like circling the party, trying to keep anyone away.
So, Charlie is circling them like a bee. Right, as you head down the sea path, you come across a human just casually walking back up the path.
I sort of get hold my hand out to get the children to help, and I say to the person, you want to turn around? You don't want to go into the town. It's a war zone up there.
A war zone, you say? I mean, what? What's going on? I'm sorry, I haven't been here for very long.
All right, I'm insighting this fucker.
Okay.
Can I roll insight?
Yeah.
26.
The red flag in your head is immediately started flapping.
What do you mean you haven't been here that long?
I'd mean exactly what I just said. I haven't been here very long.
Well, if you were wise, you'd turn around the other way and head back down the path.
I mean, I'm not sure I should be taking orders from someone who's doing their best impression of the Pied Piper at this moment.
You can head that way. You go right to the edge and keep away from these children, or I will bash your face in.
Tarek also did an insight check, but he was more shocked by Charlie's comment than anything.
I'm not letting any harm come to these children. I will break his neck.
It's a bit violent, isn't it, for somebody you've just met?
This island's a bit violent if you haven't caught on.
Well, as I said, I'm new here.
How new?
Like I said, I've only just got here.
Wait, then move on so I can get these children out of here.
They step aside, let you pass.
I look over to Turgan and say, you leave them, I'll stand guard, make sure they don't try anything. And I will put my hand on my quarterstaff and sort of like stand in between the children who are passing and whoever this person is.
Tarek does as he's told, and the person just watches you, smiling inanely.
So are the children passed yet?
The children are passed now.
Alright, I'm not going to get much out of him, so I'm going to head down the path with the children, sort of keeping my eyes on them.
As you head down the path, the person casts sleep on you.
I cannot be put to sleep by magic. Having that, I swing my quarterstaff to trip him up for pointing it, like, up against his throat.
The person just smiles. Well, it was worth a try.
Can I swing, like, my quarterstaff around and try and just knock him out cold?
Go for it.
24.
The person casts shield as a reaction.
Ah, shit, fuck.
That's not very nice now, is it?
Alright, I bat the fuck up. And I have a feeling this is a distraction, so I'm going to run back to the children.
Unfortunately for Charlie, you were correct.
Whilst
Charlie was distracted by the nice smiley human, Turk and the children had continued further on down the path. And by the time Charlie reaches them, there is Turk on the ground, but there is no children.
Oh, shit.
I guess Laughter's in a bush, unconscious.
Okay, I've just gone pale at this point, so I'm going to quickly check their pulses, make sure they're all right, and then I want to look for any, like, footprints or just something that might indicate where they are, where they've been taken.
You check their pulses. They're both alive. They're just unconscious at the moment.
Okay.
Unfortunately, this is a gravel path. There are no footprints.
Darn you, road surfacing!
So...
That person's getting snapped next time I see him.
So, the camera pans back over to the other three.
Oh my gosh.
Who stood behind a wall of fire, like, well.
I'm moving through a burning ring of fire.
That's inspiration worthy.
I've been sitting on that for 10 months.
You have inspiration for it.
Thank you.
For your troubles.
So I would say that Oberyn would turn to the two of them because he didn't know, like, you guys told him you were saving the kids, but I have no idea what your plan was. So, like, I turn to you and you go, well, are we going to get the kids or we need to go?
Yeah, we can go catch up with them. I sent Laughter, Charlie, and Turgle armed to protect them.
Smart. I'm sure with the three of them, those children are completely fine, yeah, and we have nothing
three
to worry
them,
about.
75 of these guys. There can't be more of them, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, they are 100% fine. I'm sure those kids are having a s'more right now, and they're all hanging out, so let's go catch up to them.
I guess we turn and we kind of jog towards where we, like, the route we know they'd be going.
Yeah.
Basically the route we went when we all almost died, Moira.
So you go down the path until you meet Laughter and Tarek having a snooze, or just waking up from one, and Charlie sat in a fetal position going, oh my god, oh my god.
Charlie is, like, pale at this point.
Guys?
Charlie?
What happened?
I don't know what's happened. Did you see someone up the path?
I don't know how... Can you get me out of this box?
Laughter, shut up.
We didn't see anyone on our way over here. Wait, no. You're not telling me you guys lost the kids?
Please tell me you didn't lose the group of women and children and, like, the injured and elderly.
It was a distraction. I sent Tarek and Laughter down the path of the children. Someone wanted to cause harm, so I waited until they were out of the way, but it was a distraction. Someone's taken them, and I don't know who.
Did you get the guy that was being the distraction?
No, once I realised what he was trying to do, I bolted to see what happened when I got down here. Laughter and Tarek was put to sleep.
It's not good.
Well, as always, I might not be able to depend on my human friends and my tiefling and elf friends, but you know who I can always depend on? My animal friends. And with that, I'd like to look around to see if there's any animals about who might have seen what happened.
Unfortunately for Oberyn, there are no animals around at the moment.
Son of a bitch!
Can you help me out this bloody bush, please?
Moira helps Laughter out of the bush.
Thank you.
I'm going to check on Turg, see if they saw anything.
Once I found that there was no animals about, like, once again, Oberyn's a good guy, but he's also, like, very unhinged. He's had a lot of shit happen to him, and you all know his issues with kids being injured. So at this point, Oberyn, like, is over at Charlie and grabs him by the, like, shirt and he's shaking. Who was it? Where did they go?
I don't know. Charlie's just lost at this point. I don't know.
No, I feel like Oberyn would shake Charlie, who's not, like, saying anything, and slowly start to realize that Charlie's freaking out, too.
Okay, wait, are you still holding on to me?
I would just be holding on to you. Oberyn would have stopped shaking you by now, but just holding on to your shirt still, like, staring at you.
Okay, because I was about to throw you over my shoulder.
Yeah, I'm just going to check on Turg whilst you lot have your breakdowns.
Moira begins to look around to see if there's any clues just around.
Turg, having woken up and realizing both neither his parents are there and there are no children there, starts to have a mild panic attack. For the benefit of the people in the party who don't know, Turg is completely mute. He cannot talk.
Good to know, thank you.
I cast message to Turg so I can speak to him telepathically.
Turg does not answer.
Yeah, Turg won't answer you, mate. He hasn't spoken, ever.
It's worth a try, I say. It's worth a try.
I grab Turg's, like, arms. I try and, like, ground him, and I'm like, Turg, look at me.
Turg looks at Shard, one of, like, two people here he trusts.
We saw your dad. He's okay. And if you know your dad, if your dad's there, your mum's about 2 meters away with, like, a big stick.
Shard knows them well.
Did you see anything before you got knocked out?
Turg has to think about it.
Yeah. Even if it was just something you thought was weird.
Turg looks further down the path, but then he shakes his head.
Okay, we're going to find them. Are you all right? Did you hurt yourself when you fell?
He shakes his head again.
Do you want to come with us or do you want to go help your parents?
He looks back up towards Larton.
Okay, if you're all right, we'll find the kids and we'll meet you. Do I kind of know a good spot nearby that's decently hidden?
I should imagine so, given the time Shard's been here. There is a tiny cut in the path. It's hard to see through the bushes, but it just leads to a small area. It's one of those places you don't really know it's there unless you've been.
Look, I'll meet you. You know the dip area where we had that picnic, and you knocked me out by throwing a ball at me too hard.
Turg nods. He's still embarrassed about that.
It's okay. We'll regroup there, okay? Get any like remaining fighters and things once you guys have dealt with the town, and we'll see you there, okay?
Tarek pats Shard on the shoulder, and also Charlie as he walks past, because he knows she didn't lose them on purpose.
It wasn't your fault, Tarek.
Tarek goes on his little way to hide.
We stand this boy.
So, what next, everybody?
So this is a one-way path, like it goes uphill and downhill. There's no like flip one side, inaccessible the other side.
No, you were on this path yesterday on the way to the abomination, but you didn't go down the whole thing. Yeah, this one does only go one way.
All right, I'm going to. Charlie is fucking fuming at this point, so I'm going to like sprint down the path, quarterstaff in one hand, to see if I can try and catch him.
So, with Charlie Naruto running down the path.
Someone's gonna die now.
Moira is following to try and assist in trying to find the kids.
Yeah, Oberyn would definitely be heading that way as well. Oberyn's, like, with it being the blood sun, or the blood skies, and now kids are going missing, Oberyn is, like, just livid at this moment. This is everything Oberyn hates about this fucking island.
Shard's just walking next to Oberyn like, yep, I know you're angry, yep, it fades after a couple decades, but it still burns really, really fucking bright. Laughter, stop staring at the bush.
Laughter's having a nap on the path. An eyes open nap.
Laughter's doing that thing that cats do, where they fall asleep while just standing up.
I'm guessing you guys have caught up to the rest of us.
Can Moira catch up to me, because I'm quite fast.
I'm doing my best to catch up, yeah.
Little legs.
I got 45 foot per turn.
Yeah, get on my level, then we'll talk.
I've only got 30 foot.
I'm only 5 foot behind that.
Yeah, you'll catch up to Eli eventually.
Okay, so this path does eventually lead away from the seafront and lead you into moorlands.
I have used prestidigitation for Shard to get all the pig shit off.
Oh yeah. So
I turned to Oberyn and I'm like, I can do it to you if you want, won't if you don't. Just thought I'd offer.
Oh yeah, Oberyn still smells like sulfur and ammonia.
And Oberyn looks at him, shakes his head, I deserve this until the children are saved.
The children will want to come near you, but I can make you smell like that again later if you want. Offer's there when you get tired of smelling like ammonia and bacon.
There is a sign. It says Abyssinth Moors.
Right, if we're on moorland, can I check the tracks then? Because that's a much more likely place to check the tracks.
Yeah, you roll in the investigation.
That is a 16.
Okay. There's what looks like a track for carts going up and down. Still made of gravel for the most part, so there's no tracks in that. But there is, you know, in places like moorlands and parks, there's always a bit that people walk on and all the grass is trodden down.
Yeah.
There is one of them, and in a little dip, it's full of squishy mud with footprints in it. The footprints are different types and going in both directions.
All right, I'm going to wait for the others to catch up. Moira, who's probably, like, panting.
Moira to a halt next to...
you'd smell over incoming before he got there.
Next to Charlie and literally her high heels sink into the mud.
As for Charlie, after Oberyn grabbed her, she also probably smells a bit like shit now.
Would the other three of us arrive at this point?
Yep, you've all turned up.
I think I would see Charlie, like, investigating something, and immediately I would let go of Laughter's arm, and I would head over and be like, what have you found, Charlie?
I found a few tracks going different ways, but there's more than one set of tracks, so they might have split them.
Can I make a nature check to see how, like, old these tracks are?
Yep.
That might give us a better idea which one we should follow.
Oh, you were going to say you wanted to talk to, like, an earthworm or something, and that was going to kill you.
I was going to dig down into the dirt, find me an earthworm. 21.
Well, thanks to your superior druid senses, you can look at the dirt, like, the tracks going through the grass, and you see the footprints going through them, away from you, are the newest.
All right. And then can I make an investigation check to see if I recognize or, like what kind of footprints they are? Are they, like, boot prints or...
Yeah.
Well, that was terrible. That's a 6.
They just look like ordinary, like, squishy footprints to you. They are wearing shoes, but it's hard to tell what kind.
All right.
Could be wearing flip-flops for all you know.
And could be wearing 6-inch heels.
With that, Oberyn would turn back to the rest of the party and go, I think I found us our lead. There are tracks that are fairly fresh that are heading this way. And I would point to where I know the tracks are heading off to.
What kind of shoes were they wearing?
You know, oddly enough, I can just tell you they're shoes. I'm not 100% sure what kind. Could be flip-flops, but I'm going to go with they're definitely shoes.
I hope it's not flip-flops. Those are a nightmare to get mud out of.
Just throw them away. Get a new pair.
We can afford new pairs all the time here. They got to last you a few months at least.
Can I pipe up at this moment and have Moira say, do you mind if I have a look? Seeing as I know a thing or two about shoes. I point at the high heels.
Make me a fashion check.
I'm not entirely sure what kind of check. It'd be insight, perhaps?
Yeah, investigation, insight.
Okay, I'll take a wisdom insight check then. That is a 24, crit 20.
You can tell these are not flip-flops. These are the boots of somebody who knows a thing or two about footwear.
Okay, I relate information to the group. I'm like, I'm guessing some kind of battalion.
A battalion of flip-flop wearers? That sounds very scary.
No, it's not flip-flop wearers. No.
Oh.
Flip-flops, and they're not big enough to be clown shoes, and I know there's not like a bunch of flip-flop wearing clowns just whapping their way around.
No, these are footprints of someone who knew what they were doing, regardless. It was not a flip-flop situation. This is clearly some kind of heavy boot.
I hope we follow them and stop talking about flip-flops.
I would agree with you, Shard.
This is ridiculous and I love it.
I guide laughter as we go along the path.
I think Oberyn would gladly try and head off. And try and head off first, actually, to, you know, scout this path, since he was the one who saw where these tracks were.
Right,
I poke laughter to go in. With Oberyn because, you know, you're a rogue, so tracking and sneaking up on things should be in your wheelhouse.
Alright, you don't have to poke me. Use your words.
You're not awake, laughter. I'm like,
yeah, but you could still say something before jabbing me.
Go over there.
Alright, laughter goes over there.
She's like having a teenager.
Oh, waste yourself.
Right.
As I'm assuming you're carrying on down this path, then.
Oh, yes. Hell yeah. Yeah. Oberyn and Laughter, I guess, are up front, and then everyone else. I assume Charlie is probably pretty close behind us.
Yes, definitely.
As you pass a puddle after about 10 minutes, there is indeed a flip-flop stuck in it.
I point to Moira and I go, I fucking told ya!
I look at the flip-flop and then look up at the sky and say, why, God? Why?
Moira checks to see if it's branded.
It has a picture of a minion on it.
I hate everything about this.
That is amazing.
Right, so as you carry on, it's a lovely grey day on the moors, perfect for dry elves.
I can see.
There's a really, really cold wind as you're walking along, and you occasionally have to have a fight with the scratchy gorse bushes as they cling to you, but the path seems to be pretty clear cut.
As if not naturally cleared?
As if it's been walked down quite a few times.
I'm just saying, whose idea was it to wear flip-flops on D of E?
That is an image I wouldn't have been able to get out of my head. Thanks for that.
I also wouldn't put it past someone to wear flip-flops on D of E.
After a fair while of a lovely uphill hike, occasionally sliding through muddy bits or tripping on rabbit holes, you get to the top of a hill and you get a lovely view of the valley below, and you can see for quite a long way from up here.
What can we see?
It depends what direction you're looking in.
Are we the highest elves?
You are not, unfortunately.
Legolas, what do your elf eyes see?
So I guess so. We're at the top of a hill, and which way do we just come from? Because I don't want to look back down the path, obviously.
Well, you came from the east, so.
Right. Well, then I would like to look directly, like, ahead of us, so to the west.
To the west of you, in the very, very far distance, you can see the sea again. But until then, there's just hills and hills and hills.
One
but
more
are
thing.
Are they alive with the sound of music?
They are not, unfortunately.
Can I make a nature check? As you said before, the path is very worn down. Can I see, like, where this path continues? Like, where these people would have kept walking? Or if it just ends and they, like, climb down this hill? Or
you can, but unfortunately, the path now splits in two.
I look north.
To the north, you're looking over the valley, and in the distance you can see the foothills of the Big Step. It's trying to be a mountain, but it's not. It's doing its best.
It's trying. Someone want to look south just to, you know, add the trifecta here?
Yeah, more look south, yeah.
Looking south, you can see the sea in the not too far away distance.
Okay. I relay the information I have to everyone else, which is not much more.
How far is the path towards the sea look?
It's a good 20, 30 miles away, but you're that high up you can see it.
We need to find these children.
The longer we leave it, the less chances that they're going to be alive or at least unharmed.
100%.
I mean, if they've gone into the tunnels, then we can nail them pretty easily.
Is that... You know a thing or two about tunnels, don't you?
I've lived here for, like, 30 years. I know every tunnel in this place.
Then if they're in tunnels, heaven help them.
Yeah.
So with that, would there be any entrances to the tunnels near here that you think that they would use?
Let me think about this. Oh, benevolent DM.
There are no tunnels, unfortunately. The closest one is back right outside Larton.
No, the nearest entrance is by Larton.
Could I create a tunnel?
I don't think they'd be underground if there's no entrance over here. And with that many kids, creating and repairing a tunnel behind you is too complex.
It's just an idea.
I mean, do we see any signs of the kids? Like,
no, not that you can see. There's just the valley and the path splitting off to either side.
This is his dark materials thing.
Oberyn's right. Materials aren't that dark.
Very good.
They're more of like a blue.
Right. I don't think it'd be wise of us to take these two paths independently. They both are very long and winding and could lead to terrible things for us. I don't want to make assumptions, but I would guess they wouldn't have headed toward the sea with the children. My guess it would be towards the mountain. But that, once again, 'tis just a guess.
I'm trying to figure out how many of them there would be accompanying the kids.
Well, we know of at least one that has to be there, as Charlie was maligned by the one human, so we know that there is at least one.
There's at least two, because...
Yes, there was a distraction play.
It was a distraction play. Then there's the 75 thugs.
What about down the valley?
Yeah, I have a feeling they've probably gone down the valley to like an encampment. And then they'll split the kids up, probably.
So, are you looking down into the valley?
Yes, I'm staring intently down there.
You stare at the valley as the valley stares back at you.
And I stare into it, knowing it's coming.
Down in the valley, it's a pretty steep hill down. There's the remains of a small hamlet down there. Calling it a hamlet is probably generous.
How long ago did it get damaged?
Probably some time ago. There's a small handful of buildings, but most of them are intact.
But abandoned, though.
Yes, it's a small handful of cottages and what looks like a mill.
Okay. I made note of a mill.
What time of day is it?
It's just about turning midday because the attack was right at the beginning, so...
Okay. I vote we go down there and see.
Not a bad plan.
Realising that the sun is starting to come out... Wait, is the sun starting to come out?
No, it's pretty cloudy on the moors.
Okay, never mind. I don't need to give Shard my sun hat then.
I don't want your sun hat right now.
Okay.
There are two ways down into the valley. You can go the long way round, which is the path, which will take you a good hour or two, or you could go the daring way, directly down the hill.
I'm pretty good with my dexterity.
Hey guys, you want to jump off? Yeah, I'm Featherfall, you want to jump off?
Maybe yes. After.
Definitely.
Everyone, like, touch my shoulder or something.
I touch your shoulder. I should probably change my unarmed strikes back to bludgeoning before I touch your shoulder and electrocute you.
I wonder where they went wrong.
We have a real problem with electrocution in this.
We really do. This campaign is just electrocution.
I haven't done anything wrong yet.
Renaming the campaign. Welcome to Electric Avenue.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Yeah, Oberyn would touch Shard's shoulder.
I vote we leave Laughter to check they don't come back this way.
Yeah, okay. Leave Laughter on guard duty up here.
Lafter is on guard duty, / to report our deaths if we die horribly.
Yes.
So, you all decide to
yeet,
dive off. Anybody
I want to do the cool
flip?
Like surfing thing that people do down the mountains.
Yeah. I'm doing repeated flips because why not?
You're gonna have to make Constitution save when you hit the bottom after all that flipping.
Yep, I'm fine with this.
Moira just like goes head first, right, and then like tumbles into a standing position when she lands.
21.
Shard does not lose any like stomach lining.
Oh my god.
Oh, you had to roll disadvantage on that. My bad.
Do it again. 16.
Shard still does not lose any stomach lining.
Nice.
And you can't tell they're a bit queasy because you can't see colour going from their face because it's mainly just black.
So, now you're at the bottom and you find yourself outside of what could have been a lovely little hamlet. There's 3.5 cottages. I'm calling 1.5 because the roof has collapsed in on it and crushed up a building. And the mill.
Hmm. Can we hear anything in this little village? Like, can we, if there's like a bunch of kids, like it's impossible to keep those little fuckers quiet. So can we hear anything?
All you can hear at the moment is the sound of the wind.
You suck. Losers.
Can I go check out the mill?
Yeah. It's not very pretty from the outside. It's 3 stories tall. Most of the windows are broken. And it looks like it's got some kind of stone silo attached to the side.
Alright, can I find a door and enter the mill?
Yeah, there is a lovely big front door. Just a big wooden front door.
Well, now I want to inspect this door, the way you said that. Can I inspect said just large wooden door?
It could be a doorman.
Okay, Alex.
Don't do the art of the Picasso.
Bro.
Yeah, you can inspect the door.
That is a investigation, so that's an 11.
The door just is a door. It does door things. It stares at you with its door face.
Well, proudly and defiantly, I am then going to kick said door open and enter the mill.
The wood is old and splinters upon impact, showering everybody else with lovely, like, splinters.
Cool. Now I smell like death and I'm covered in splinters. Oberyn's having a wonderful day.
Because you're still damp, I guarantee you're now, like, coated in splinters.
Oh, 100%. Stuck. I'm looking good. I'm looking good today.
Oberyn would win any fashion show right now.
Nunvark be quaking.
Okay, so what are the rest of you doing now that you're also covered in splinters?
Can I check the rest of the area? Just to make sure.
Yeah.
If there's anything worth seeing.
Roll me investigation.
14.
As far as you can tell, it's very dead here. There's just you lot.
Dead like these buildings. Swabby.
I'd probably use detect magic and kind of just walk around like beep 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 beep.
There is some. You get some reading of magic, as it were. Very faint.
I'll ping. I walk towards the ping.
Which means you walk past into the mill.
Hi, there's magic here.
Cool. Right. Well, now that we're in the mill, where's the magic shard?
Moira asks if she can lend a hand to Shard.
I ignore Moira because I'm focusing on where it's coming from right now.
Moira starts scanning as well.
Where is it coming from? God.
It's hard to pinpoint exactly. It seems to be coming from all around.
Okay, apparently it's this whole building.
Hmm.
Maybe there's like a portal here or something?
Hmm.
Is there a basement?
Yes.
This is your department.
Yeah. Can I do an arcana check?
Okay.
That is 19 plus 5, 24.
Tell that this building is magic. Again, it seems to be, it's all around.
Can I tell where the focus point is? Where is it just everywhere, or is it focused more in one place than another?
It's just everywhere. There's no real hotspot for magic, as it were.
I relay this information to the others. Not sure what else to suggest at this point. This is
okay,
a hotspot.
I have a quick thought here. Just from the way we've been talking about things, this is kind of out of character, kind of in character. Oberyn, as we've come here, you said all I could hear was the wind. He's a druid. And this this building's just magical, and we're in a deserted little cabin area, or this little, like, valley. So I think Oberyn would start to get, like, bad vibes just about this whole area. Can I just go outside and make, like, a nature check? Like, are there any creatures or anything living around here?
Yeah.
Come on, show me a good roll. I just need one. That is a 20, so that is a nature, that's a 26.
So happy, he almost punched the air.
Oberyn becomes a bush.
It's pretty devoid of life in general here.
Oh, like me.
Occasionally above the wind, you can hear the odd blackbird, but that's about it.
This would, like, because as much as this island is a hellhole, and there's a lot of things, there's always animals about. Like, Oberyn's never had an issue with this, so he's very on edge now with this whole little valley. So can I see if there's any, like, remnants of any dead bodies about or anything like that? Like, any remnants of what was here before?
Yeah. Are you still outside, or...?
Yeah, I think I'm right outside the mill at this point. I would have stepped outside.
Okay. Roll an investigation.
Hey, and we're back to what I was before. That's a 4.
You can see the skeleton of a mouse half buried in the grass, but that's about it.
I think Oberyn would turn back and go back into the mill, seeing since Shard and Moira are still scanning, and say, there's something off about this entire valley. There doesn't seem to be any life anywhere.
I mean, a lot of places are like that round here, I'm afraid.
Moira, with her check complete, is just like, Shard's absolutely right as well. It's like, this place has magic here, but I can't nail it down. It's like, impossible to figure out. I've never seen magic like this before. It's usually a focal point somewhere. Maybe the focal point's not here. Maybe it's just residual from left over from what happened here originally.
Where's Charlie? What did you do with her?
Charlie should be outside.
Charlie, are you still alive?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just checking.
Just investigating.
So, what does Charlie do now?
I'm going to join the others. I have, like, no ability with magic, but I'm out of ideas, so I'm going to join the others.
Okay.
You said this is a mill, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything under us? Like, does the floor seem... Does the floor give any kind of vibe that it's not...
It
might be a passageway underneath?
The floor feels very solid beneath your feet.
Right. There's no basement then, no?
If you can find one.
Okay, that'll be an investigation check, I'm guessing. Then. Oh, lovely.
I was going to say, I've got a hard punch, but I don't think I could break the floor.
That's a 7 plus 3 is 10.
You're not sure if there's a basement here or not.
I'm unsure. Shard?
I might have something for this.
Shard, we'll have a look. More of a just like just some residual scanning, make sure it's not missing anything up top.
I'm going to stand in the center of the room and I'm going to use one my other drow spell, which is fairy fire, which it's a 20 foot cube around me, like up, down, left, right, and it outlines all objects in. Like, it's a bit like Eagle Vision in Assassin's
nice.
Creed. Like, it
or
outlines things.
As well. Nice.
It's my own mini-map.
Okay.
Like, so, if there's objects below us, like, if there is a basement with, like, furniture in it, I can, like, it outlines.
Okay. You can see there is something below you. It's very empty. How well can you see what's below you?
It's outlined in 10-foot, like, dim light. And if anything's invisible in that region, I can see it now.
Okay, you can't quite see to the bottom.
Okay, there is something down there, if we want to break through the floorboards.
Hmm.
The floor is stone, for reference.
Okay.
that's what you think.
I've got nothing that can get through stone.
Can I go back outside and look to see if there's an entrance to the basement from outside, like there is a lot of mills? Because the basement entrance would be like an outdoor opening thing.
The entrance.
Go and investigate that.
I'm not rolling that die. I'm going to roll this one.
The other one is cursed.
That's a dirty 20.
As Oberyn, who apparently is the only one with eyes in his head, goes around and investigates.
I've been focusing on magic.
I had to look around. Right.
You didn't look at the mill specifically for that.
No.
So yeah,
the cottage, like the roof works of the buildings, like that's very nice.
To quote Alex, rip.
So as I was saying, Oberyn, apparently being the only one with eyes in his head, goes around to investigate the building. And he does find, half buried again, a small set of doors in the ground.
Oi, found the doors to the basement.
Moira pretty much runs out the door, runs round the corner to meet up with Oberyn. Like, shall we open them? I literally start, my hands start sparkling with magic. Have we all gathered? Or is it just me and Oberyn?
I'm nearby.
Yeah, I'm
joined
as well.
They shouted out to everyone to come, and once we all have assembled in front of the mill doors, I would say that I would open one of them. I would say to everyone, be prepared, and then I would grab the door and kind of swing it open.
I have my hands ready just in case anything pops out at us.
As the door opens, you will get hit with a blast of lovely damp air, and there is
Shard,
a set of stairs going down. It's just like home for Shard.
Shard's like, yeah!
It puts Moira's flames out in her hands. She's not impressed.
But yes, there's a set of stone steps going down into there.
Downwards and onwards, I guess.
Yeah.
Onwards and forwards.
Shard, would you like to go first, as this is, you know, kind of your neck of the woods? Though it's not a cave, it's the closest we're going to get to one today.
Yeah, fair.
I think I can
see further in the dark than you guys. So.
This is home turf for you, definitely.
As the party began their descent, the camera panned away, and you may be wondering, did they die? And the answer to that is, sadly, yes. But then they lived. And to find out how well they lived, you'll just have to wait till the next part. This podcast was brought to you by me, Kerry, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media and Matt Attack Productions.